Well, many residences offer artists and writers a comfortable house for a few months so they can relax and concentrate on completing a project. You need to be a bit more intrepid to apply for the Auckland Regional Parks Artists and Residence, where you're going to be spending a lot of time in the wilderness night and day. Poet and Titirangi local Elizabeth Welsh has recently wrapped up her residency at Awhitu Regional Park. Also with us is last year's artist in residence, Chris McDowell. The 2020 Ockham Award, Book Award winner and cartographer roamed and mapped the Glenfern Sanctuary in Aotea Great Barrier Island. Images are on our Standing Room Only webpage, but these are not traditional maps. Well, kia ora kōrua, welcome to both of you. Lovely to have you on the programme.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, you went to Awhitu with a plan, a distinct plan. What was it?
So I wanted to create a set of site-responsive poems, and I wanted to combine that with my papermaking practice. So the poems themselves will be printed on a paper that I've made from wetland material that I harvested at Awhitu.
What kinds of materials are we talking about?
So over the course of the residency, I particularly became enamoured with the rushes, which are quite, they don't stand out, but they're a regenerative part of the wetlands, and they are a hardy, healthy part that I really took to during the course of the residency. So I harvested a lot of all sorts of rushes. I particularly liked the oi ois, of which there were a lot out at Awhitu. Yes.
So how do these residencies work, Elizabeth? Are you chosen for Awhitu, you know, here you go and discover, or had you chosen that site?
So I was given the choice of two sites. One was Awhitu Regional Park and the other was Duda. And I chose Awhitu because I had a personal connection to it. My family and myself have visited a number of times. It's somewhere that we go out to each summer. So it has a sentimental, personal connection for me.
And has it changed over that time? Because we know that so many of our wetlands are really under threat.
They are. So the rangers out there have done an amazing job of supporting the regeneration of the wetlands at Awhitu. There were it's been since about the 70s, there's been massive regeneration. It was there were plans at one point to turn parts of it into other uses, and luckily due to the rangers there and their advocacy, they have managed to keep the wetlands and extend them, and they are extremely healthy out there now, and they have a wonderful fern bird population, which is fantastic.
So has that influenced your poetry? I mean, had the situation been more serious, I imagine the tone of your poetry would have been quite different.
Yes, and I think the tone still reflects the threat, because it feels a little like this is one example of what we could do. And unfortunately, you know, over 90% of our wetlands have been drained and filled and lost, and they are severely threatened. And so this was always in the back of my mind when I was out there writing about such a healthy example. So that definitely comes through in the poetry.
You very generously, given this is all very fresh for you, said that you'd read one of your poems for us.
Yes, I can. Would you like me to do that?
Please
now?
Do.
Yep. Okay. This is title. Lift up that sand to flow, transported northwards by stealthy wayward currents, taut bands flexing, swelling dune lakes washing to unknown shores, deposited by the sparring tides and reforming on the open Afitu Peninsula. I sit, ripe sticky tangelo in hand, peeling a makeshift breakfast for myself and my daughter, while we silently watch the reforming wetland scrub move imperceptibly as an oversized flag in the developing current. The tide is a force every child must learn. Consider these other spurious moments of regeneration, rebuild, recovery. Wonder what bronze, amber, black, green, grey wash of verdant plant matter will reel, froth, burst over Karitutahi wetland's vast sweep to root down, hush, and fitfully slumber. Before arriving, I read about an engineering system that biomimics tides to assist with the threat of changing sea levels. I think of this as we sit and note the slow shift out, the wetland brassily singing with oi-ois and rushes devouring the shoreline. The gregarious tide litters a pod of red-spotted jellyfish that entrance my daughter, a currency of light at my protruding back. As the mouth of the tide leaves a system of wetland roots and seeks further course and shores, there is no moment to consider how we take for granted its inevitable fragile return. Listen to the rush of the biting southerly in the trees on the headland. Cold now, we can still tally up our faltering steps. Our tongues lift to our cracked lips and taste the sharp salt.
Hi, kia ora, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. Chris McDowell, I want to bring you in here. You've had time, stay with me, Elizabeth. Chris, you've had time to think about your time on Aotea Great Barrier Island and to produce a body of work. And we have some of the images on our webpage. Really beautiful, these maps. But you had a very clear sense of what you wanted to work on when you went there.
I thought I did, yes. I went with a clear sense, and then it just kept on changing and shifting. The more time I spent on the place, the sense I guess that I went with, though, which did come all the way through, was that I wanted to engage in participatory mapping, so to work with other people there and create maps with the rangers and trappers and managers and visitors and all of the different people who come to Glenfern Sanctuary, and I never quite knew what those were going to be going in, but I'm glad what we ended up with coming out the other side.
They are just super beautiful. I mean, one of them, it has the outline of a map, but it feels very delicate, like an X-ray or a tissue, and then you've got the night sky also. So you've gone in all kinds of directions here, haven't you?
Yeah, and the work, it's a work that theoretically is supposed to be bounded in time, but I keep on working on it and keep on coming back to it. It's a work that just keeps on going. But yeah, it's the maps that you noted there, they were all produced at sort of different scales in space and time, and that was one of the things that was really struck me in the time being at the park, was the ways that there were these very big, very deep, long stories happening and events, but also this incredible micro world that was just playing out in a space the size of a boulder or a rock or the bend in a river, and trying to integrate all of those different scales and experiences.
Did you know Glenfern at all before you went there? Because you spent, I mentioned before, night and day. You really were out there at night, weren't you?
I was, yeah. I don't know Northern Aotea particularly well. I'd spent a fair bit of time in the south of the island. I too got a choice. So it was between Shakespeare Reserve and Glenfern Sanctuary on Aotea Great Barrier Island. And both are places that I'd had some association with. But the the north of Great Barrier Island is just an incredible place, and I'd never really been there apart from to briefly visit Port Fitzroy. So it was 8 weeks of exploration and getting to know the place and getting to know the people who live there.
Do you think, I mean, mapping, of course, has been your thing, your jam for a while now, but do you think this experience, I know it was just a few weeks, but do you think this experience on Great Barrier will continue to inform your work as you keep thinking about digital data visualization and mapping?
I think so. I think it'll in a few ways, in fact, like partly, as you suggested, that it will inform my practice. And I mean, what's amazing about it was when you work with, I know I spend all my days working with data, and I'm often quite removed from the subject material that I'm working with, and have to really force myself to think about what this represents, that these represent people or they represent landscapes. But from being from this residency, I was in the space and moving around it at all different times of day and night, and that really, it brings I guess a tone to the work that isn't there when you're working with bare data. But I also just hope to continue to have a relationship with the place. I mean, I first and foremost a geographer, and that island, that Motu, is, it's just a phenomenal place. And we'll be revisiting then actually in a few weeks, and hope to just continue the work and keep it going and going.
Oh, fantastic. Chris McDowell and Elizabeth Welsh, thank you for your time. Ka kite. If they've got you interested in the Auckland Regional Parks Artists in Residency, applications open on Friday. There's a link on the Standing Room Only webpage. Good luck to you.